The Lipton Show, Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, to tell you how America lives and thinks and feels in your town and mine. Vox Pop, sponsored by Lipton Soup and Lipton Tea. Tonight, Vox Pop travels to Atlanta, Georgia, home of Joel Chandler Harris, author of the immortal story of Uncle Remus. Your two Vox Poppers, Parks Johnson and Warren Howe, are in Atlanta right now on the stage of the Fox Theater to bring you highlights of the world premiere of Walt Disney's new picture, Song of the South, which is based on the tales of Uncle Remus. Several well-known Disney characters are at the premiere to welcome Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Fox, and Br'er Bear to the list of lovable Disney stars. Yes, it's Vox Pop at the world premiere of Walt Disney's Song of the South. And here we go to Atlanta, Georgia.
This is Br'er Parks Johnson.
And this is Br'er Warren Hull.
And this is Br'er Donald Duck.
Wait a minute, Donald Duck. You don't come in here right now.
Oh.
No, you don't. No, look. You go sit down. If you're a good duck, why, we'll let you talk a little later.
So long, darling. You'll be back. Folks, this beautiful Fox Theater in Atlanta is jammed with over 5,000 Atlantans eager to see the world premiere of Walt Disney's picture based on their own Joel Chandler Harris' famous Uncle Remus stories.
Charming ladies, beautifully gowned, handsome gentlemen prevailed upon to wear their tuxedos. Took a lot of prevailing to get me into mine. Parks, I guess you feel right at home in Atlanta, don't you?
Warren, I do. I've lived here 4 different times, and it's just like coming home. But you'll go on with the program. One of the men that we love best in Atlanta is right with me now. You folks are going to enjoy the Song of the South and appreciate Br'er Rabbit and all the critters all the more when you've met one of the sons of Joel Chandler Harris, who was the creator of Uncle Remus. This son I knew when we were both boys in West End of Atlanta, and when I also knew and loved his famous dad. Folks, likable, lovable, old friend of mine, Joel Chandler Harris, Jr.
Well, it's nice to see you again, Fox. Nice to have all the relatives in the audience, too.
Yes. Jake, they call you Jake, of course.
That's
everybody
right.
Does. We're not going to tell folks how long ago that was we used to know each other, are we?
Well, the snow's all over the roof. You can see that.
Yeah, on both of our roofs. And it was back in the old days. You remember some of those things that about the little gangs we had, you know?
Well, yeah, that's where I got white hair, was dodging alley apples. The Diamond Hustlers up around Lee and Park Street.
Yeah, and my gang from Lee Street and yours from Gordon, huh?
West End Sluggers.
Say, Jake, have you seen the West End Sluggers, yeah? Have you seen the preview of Song of the South?
No, I haven't, as a matter of fact. I had a very nice invitation, but I thought that it might be like seeing the Army Notre Dame game with about 20 people in the grandstand. That wouldn't be much fun.
You wanted to join the rest of Atlanta in seeing this marvelous picture, didn't you? Well, there you are. I'd like to talk about your dad a little bit. I recall only meeting him about 4 or 5 times. Did he ever tell you kids any Uncle Remus stories?
No, as a matter of fact, he never did. He wrote them, I think. I mean, he was working at the typewriter while we were fooling around the house, but he was just a dad, that's all. And
a regular dad, huh?
Grew some trees out in the backyard so he could use the limbs occasionally.
Peach trees, of course.
Say, you would tell us about a fellow that came down about some goldfish one day. Do you remember him?
Yeah, now, wait a minute, Jake. That's the time that I was out there with an old friend of mine, and he caught us with sort of trying to catch a goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember that he told me a little story about how I wouldn't like to be caught. And we put the goldfish back on our heads, and thereafter we never went to his goldfish pond. But that's another story. I want you to tell me perhaps a story that he may have told you. Can you recall any of the stories that he did tell you, if not Uncle Remus? Way back. Reach back in your memory.
Well,
I know he loved birds. I know he loved animals. Get me one along that line.
Well, but one of the most interesting things he ever told me, and it broke up a very happy hallucination that I had, We had a mulberry tree and a wild cherry tree, and we used to get great fun watching the birds eat the mulberries and the wild cherries, and, as we thought, get drunk and fall off the limb and on the ground.
Yeah?
And after a half a minute on the ground, they'd fly away, and we had a lot of fun, and Dad explained to me one day that, as a matter of fact, the birds weren't drunk at all, that the mulberries were non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
And the cherries, too, but they got choked on the cherries and mulberries, and, of course, being out of breath, they got dizzy. Might as well be alcoholic.
Yes,
and they fell, hit the ground, and when they hit the ground, the cherry pit of the mulberry was dislodged, and soon the bird got his wind and flew away. Very simply, if you know.
Bird's got no sense in a good drunk, haven't he?
Well, yeah. And
Say, your dad's column in the Constitution, I remember that. He wrote for a long time there, didn't he?
Oh, quite a lot, man. I used to have to carry his manuscript in every day after school.
Jake, did you help Walt Disney in any way in the preparation of this picture? Talk to him about it?
No, not at all. I just gave him the inspiration, and I think it was on my character and our little fun together in 1940 that he built the character Brer Rabbit.
You've always been a kidder. And you still are. Well, George Hanley Harris, Jr., we appreciate you being with us tonight, and we hope that you're going to enjoy these little token gifts we have for you that fit right into your hobby. For your own garden gate, some sweet-toned bells and a solid brass sundial to put in the middle of that wonderful garden of yours, and may there be sunshine in your life's garden all the way through George Chandler Harris, Jr. Thank you a lot. I wish we had time for more stories. I hope not, Joe. 1 second. Folks, that's all now. A word about the gifts tonight, you people on the air. All the Disney people and Mr. Harris wanted us to put the cash into and add to the fund which the Junior League has raised here, which goes to two very worthy projects of theirs that we'll talk about perhaps a little bit later on, so that they're receiving only token gifts, and our check goes to the Junior League for the Wren's Nest and a school for the blind. Thank you a lot. Thank you.
I noticed you and Mr. Harris were having a wonderful time reminiscing.
Yeah.
I know that you're a native down here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'd like to have you tell me this. Just what is it that makes Southern hospitality so famous?
Oh, I don't know, Warren. It seems to me that hospitality is nothing more than being friendly and making folks feel at home. It's doing and saying the right thing at the right time.
I see. Well, what about serving the right thing at the right time? That's important, too.
You bet it is, and that's just why Lipton's noodle soup rates so high in so many kitchens. Not only is it a swell start for lunches and dinners, it comes in mighty handy on lots of other occasions, too.
Parks is right, folks. He's talking about those quick, spur-moment snacks everybody likes, and all those other times when you have to fix something good to eat in a hurry.
Lipton's noodle soup mix is perfect for hurry-up occasions because it cooks in just 7 minutes.
And it has a rich, chickeny flavor that's really delicious. It tastes fresh-cooked because you fresh-cook it yourself.
And it saves you money, too, because every envelope of Lipton's noodle soup mix makes from 4 to 6 servings, merely a full quart of soup, about 1.5 times as much as most 10 soups give you. Try Lipton's noodle soup tomorrow, folks. And always keep a good supply on hand. Remember, you get all the flavor of homemade soup,
but none of the fuss. And now, you know, there are newspapermen and women and officials from all over the country here for the premiere of Song of the South. Also, those two honeymooning RKO stars, Barbara Hale and Bill Williams. Among those from the Disney studios is this young fellow who's cartoon art director. He's from beautiful La Cañada, California. That's just over the mountain from the studios, as I remember it. Ken Anderson. Ken, how long have you been with Disney?
About 10, 11, 12 years.
12 years? Does it seem that long?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, it's like being married to a beautiful, wonderful woman.
Yes, it is that. Well, Walt, yeah, it is. That's right.
Well, you're...
I'm not married to Walt.
No. Oh, well, Walt's very wonderful, I guess, but I don't think he's beautiful. You remember how you got your first job?
Yes, I got my first job. That happened on my honeymoon.
Yes? Well, tell us about it, quick.
Well, we're driving around, and I hadn't got down to work yet. And Polly asked my wife, said, you better go in there and get a job. So I said, well, maybe they might ask me something I don't know, and that wouldn't be too good. So we went up the corner and looked at a post-toasty box and saw how they drew Mickey and Minnie, and I found they had three fingers, and I thought I knew all the answers then.
Yeah.
So I went in, and they never did ask me that, though. They...
But you got the job.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I think I did.
Sure, and you're still there. Can you tell us, in a nutshell, how a cartoon is made?
Have you got a long time?
No, we haven't.
Well, maybe a simple way to put it might be those little books that you flip. Flip the edges. I think everybody
seen those.
That's right.
Yes,
have pictures
that
on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
You spin it with your thumb.
I think.
They move.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the same idea.
Oh, I get it. In a nutshell. How do the people in the studio feel about this picture, Song of the South?
Well, most every one of us worked on it, and I think that I can say that we all were very, very happy to work on this picture.
Mm-hmm.
We had a better feeling working on this picture than... Well, it's hard to say. We just felt awful good.
Well, I suppose all the people at the studio would like to be here.
Well, I think they should be. I feel self-conscious being here.
Why?
Because I can't possibly represent all those fellows. Mm-hmm. We all work together as a team to help Walt make this picture.
I see. Walt's a pretty unusual boss, is he?
Oh, Walt. Yes, he is.
Is he sort of strict?
Well, we got to put out. But, but he isn't tough on us.
No?
No. Not too tough.
But you ever get any trouble there or anything?
Oh, yeah. When you can't think up an idea, you can't get things going right.
Yeah. Do you ever catch you soldiering?
Well, gee. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. I heard once about some fellows who were playing with some thumbtacks.
Yes, that's... We get
were you
good
in that?
Well, yes. We get pretty good at that. They have these thumbtacks that we can throw at targets, things that help get ideas. And, we were pitching these things at a target, and it was kind of a new game at that time. Ball came in unexpectedly.
Yeah.
That's what we were doing. We to the point where we were throwing these thumbtacks, and they stuck. And he says, oh. So he threw one and hit the target, and we were missing it. So, and so he just turned around and walked out and said, let that be a lesson to you guys.
And you're still there.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, fine. Ken, time's getting on here. We want to thank you very much for the chat. Your background in the studio and Walt was a thing of ours tonight. And as a little person gift from Listen, of our appreciation, we have for you a pretty little picture. As a matter of fact, it's a rather big picture. It's an original first edition print from Audubon's Birds of America. It's a picture of a king eider duck, one of Donald's relatives, no doubt. It's a collector's item, and we're sending it to your home in La Cañada. Hope you like it. Thanks for being with us. Ken Anderson.
Thank you very much.
Wait a minute, kids, till I fix this. Folks, if you can't see, what I'm doing is lowering the microphone a little bit because I've got two Atlanta Belles, young ladies, who are not quite tall enough to reach into the microphone. Both have to get right along here. And I've got to get the microphone way down, and then I've got to get down on my knees. All right, here we go. In yesterday's Armistice Day parade, Warren and I saw two mighty pretty little six-year-old Atlanta girls. They were riding atop the Uncle Remus Association tally-ho with other of their friends. We said hello, and they said howdy, and here they are. We discovered that they love Uncle Remus stories, and I want them each to tell you a story or two that you're going to see in the picture Song of the South. Folks, two of Atlanta's youngest set, Sarah Aldridge and Janet Farris. You kids were in that parade, and you did have a lot of fun, didn't you, yesterday? How about Sarah?
Yeah.
How about Janet?
Yes.
Did you try to talk to anybody, sir, from up on top of that tally-ho?
Yes.
Well, did you?
Yes.
What'd you say?
I said,
I bet you saw somebody you knew, too. Are you girls neighbors, Janet? Talk right to the microphone now.
Yes.
Wait a minute. One of you says no, and one of you says, how far apart do you all live? You live close to each other?
We don't live so close.
No, but do you go to the same school?
Yes.
Same grade?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You're both pretty good in school?
Yes.
Well, now we're getting somewhere. Where'd you learn your Uncle Remus story? Janet, you tell me, huh?
My mama wrote mountain.
And how about you, sir?
My mama wrote mountain.
Uh-huh. Well, which one of you knows the story about the tar baby? You do, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us the story about the tar baby?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Once upon a time, there was a fox and there was a lady. The window, the old fox, he thought he'd put up a contraption that's called a turbine for old brother Luke. So, one day, well, he got the car and he got the turbine down. He mixed that up together and he fixed the turbine right in the middle of the road.
Yeah?
So there came old brother Luke. She came along. And Bubba Rabbit said, Bubba Rabbit, he,
said how to do, didn't he?
He said how to. The old tall baby, he didn't speak.
Yeah?
So the baby said, if you can't hear, well, I'll talk a little bit louder.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, if you don't take that head off and tell me how to, I'm gonna sock you.
Yeah.
So he socked him, and then he got that, they turned you loose. And as I socked you with a hand, so he socked you with that hand, and then he
the other hand,
huh? And then he got that, you say if you don't come here like I'll kick the natural stubborns out of you. He got it. So he got one foot, and kicked you with that foot, and that foot got stuck.
That got stuck too.
And he said, if you don't come here like I'll kick you with arms, so he kicked that neck and got stuck. He said, if you don't come here, look, I'll bust you. So he butted with his head and head, got that. He and old brother.
Butted him in the head, huh?
Yep. And old brother, Fox, he came along. He said, well, you don't sort of stuck up this morning, Brother Rabbit. And Brother Rabbit, he said, old brother Fox, he rolled on the van last. Till he couldn't last no more.
What did you say to him about the briar patch?
He was gonna
chop his head off, wasn't he?
He was gonna chop his head off, so he chopped. What
did you tell him not to do?
He said, please, for Lord's sake, don't throw me in that briar patch.
Don't throw me in that briar patch. Yeah. Janet, which one of the stories do you know?
I know one about peanut patch.
Tell it right to the microphone right there so the folks way up can hear you. Tell me about the patch.
Once upon a time, Bill Fox, he wanted to make this trap for Bill Rabbit. So he made this trap so the Bill Rabbit walked into it and started hanging.
Got caught, yeah.
And then we didn't have to wait long. Here came Bill Rabbit.
Brother Rabbit. Oh, Brother Rabbit, you got called first. Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten it. Yeah.
And then he came and he got caught up there and he just swung. And Bill Fox came out and said, I got you this time. And he said, I'm going back to sharpen my axe. Then he ran up the hills and went back to sharpen his axe. And along came Brother
Bear, yeah.
And then he said, why up there today? And he said, I'm making money watching the peanut garden.
Mad rabbit, wasn't he?
So, the crows can't get the peanuts. And he said, and then they started talking. Down ran Brother Fox, running down the hill.
Gee, I can't wait. Did the rabbit get the bear up in the trap, too?
Uh-huh.
And that was what happened?
Uh-huh.
And go ahead and finish it.
And then, when he got swinging up, the fox said, why don't you let him talk you into doing that? And then he chopped down the tree and it fell on both of them. And then the rabbit started laughing and he ran away.
Laughing right away and he got away. One more little thing. Roger's motioning to me to ask you to sing a cute little song that you sang to him yesterday. Sing it for me, won't you? Both of you together. Just the first verse. That's all we can have got time for. Wait a minute. Yes, sir. Thank you both, you young bells of Atlanta. Atlanta? Did I say Atlanta? Warren, why didn't we put Atlanta in those beautiful 10 cities we mentioned in Pageant Magazine? You remember? Oh, well, anyway, there's nothing more beautiful anywhere in the country than you young ladies, and we appreciate you being with us. And each of you, we've got gifts exactly alike. And here they are. First of all, two high chairs in them, two beautiful dolls. And so you can ride them around. We've got two nice doll buggies. Now, wait a minute. That's not all. And so you two yourselves can ride around. We've got two of the prettiest blue bicycles with everything on them that you can imagine. Thank you a lot, kids. Sure, have enjoyed. Sure.
Woo-hoo. Come here, girls. Come here. Come here. Don't you go away. Don't you all go away. Now, you stay right up here. We have another gift for you, too. Would you like to meet Donald Duck in person? Would you?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Well, here he is. Donald, come on and say hello to the girls. Right here.
Right here.
Well, what do you think of that, huh? What do you think of that? You liked him? Oh, that's fine. Now, wait a minute. Oh, there's someone else. Would you like to meet Snow White? Snow White, This is Janet and Sarah.
I'm wishing for the one I love to find me today.
Hello, Janet. Hello, Sarah. Say, if you were to make a wish, what would you choose?
What would you wish for? Huh?
A movie star.
You'd like to be a movie star. Well, now, look, here comes Pluto. Here comes Pluto. Now, Pluto, you go lie down and be quiet. Pluto, you be quiet now. Well, here comes Goofy. Goofy, this is Janet and Sarah.
You. Hello, Janet. Hello, Sarah. You go to school?
They're in the second grade, Goofy. What grade are you in?
Me? Why, that's fine. I'm in the second grade, too. I've been in for years and years. Boy, I'm smart.
All right. You like him, too? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, now, here's Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket, come on over here and say hello to Janet and Sarah.
How do you do? I'm your conscience. I tell you what to do and what not to do. Have you ever had a conscience?
Huh? You ever had a conscience? What makes you a good girl? What makes you a good girl?
Well, you see, Pinocchio was a little wooden boy, and eventually, with his conscience, which was played by me, he became a real boy, and he was awfully nice. Have you ever had a conscience? Huh?
No. I was going to say these Atlanta girls don't have consciences, but I shouldn't say that, should I? Now, is this fun, girls?
Mm-hmm.
You like this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what. Don't you think that we should give some nice gifts right now to all these people for coming here?
Mm-hmm.
You approve of that?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, I'll tell you, Donald Duck Lipton says for you, since you were such a good bluebird, we found out that you did Bluebird in Song of the South, we have this antique Staffordshire bluebird figurine. Donald Duck, do you like that, all right? Huh? Yeah, sure. He loves it. Now, Snow White, here's some lovely jeweled earrings and a pin. The jewels looking like Snow White cotton balls. These will get you a Prince Charming, Snow White. And, Jiminy Cricket, here's something for your heart. We're sending you a set of very fine fireplace fixtures to your home out in California. And Goofy, for you and Grumpy and Sleepy and Dopey and all the other characters that you do, we have a Goofy gift. Some 14-karat gold gooflings. And Pluto, here's something to add to your collection. I know you do that, too. We have an Atlanta dog license. Mayor Hartfield said that now you can take a walk down Pootstree Street. All right, here we go.
Donald, before we go ahead, tell me, of all the many fine pictures that Walt Disney has made, which would you say is the best?
Oh, Parks, that is a real toughie. That's like asking someone to choose between one plate of Lipton's noodle soup and another. You just can't do it, Parks.
Well, you got a good point, Warren. One plate of Lipton's noodle soup is just as delicious as the next, isn't it?
Why, of course. Every single spoonful has that same rich, chickeny flavor.
Chickeny.
I said chicken, Donald. And the same tender golden egg noodles. Not only that, it is a fresh cook taste because you fresh cook it yourself.
Yes, Donald, it's duck soup to prepare. It takes just 7 minutes.
Yes, what's more, every envelope makes 4 to 6 servings. And that's almost a full quart, about 1.5 times as much as most canned soups give you. So you see, Lipton's Noodle Soup saves you money, too. Ask your grocer tomorrow for Lipton's Noodle Soup mix and always keep a good supply handy. Remember, you get all the flavor of homemade soup.
It's a Warren, yeah. There's one more character that Janet and Sarah wanted to meet. It's a character that I know all of us want to meet. Mickey Mouse. You want to hear him, kids? Of course you do. Mickey Mouse, say hello to the girls.
Hello, Janet and Sarah. How are you all?
Well, that is a good southern Mickey there. Come on out. The fellow who does Mickey, and all of you would like to meet him, I know, Walt Disney. Come on, Walt. I don't see how you stand it. The pace of the last few days, parties, banquets, parade, all that sort of thing, interviews. You're holding up all right.
You're holding me up.
All right. Say, a couple of things I wanted to ask you. We don't have an awful lot of time. Do you remember that pushpin episode that Ken Anderson was talking about?
Oh, yes. The bullseye image.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I tell you, I tried it many times afterwards. I never made another bullseye.
Oh, you never did. Say, Song of the South is ready for showing now. How long did it take you to get the idea, the picture, and get it going?
Well, I lived with the Uncle Remus stories when I was a boy in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And when the time was right, when I thought it was right, I got in touch with the Harris family and made a deal for the properties, as we call it. And then in 1940, I came here and did some research.
Mm-hmm. Well, it took a long time, but this is the night. And oh, by the way, speaking of Uncle Remus, we have something for you, if you remember us by. We have, for you to remember us by, we have a hooked rug designed and made especially for you by Lida Peterman of the Hobby Horse Shop in Jericho, Long Island. And it's a very special deal for you. On it, you'll find the spirit of Uncle Remus, Brer Rabbit, and the inscription, "So Busy with Other Folks Doing." I think you're going to sort of like that, and Mrs. Disney, too. We hope you'll take great pleasure in it in your home. One other thing, too, now. How much time do we have, Raj?
Well, that's sure mighty nice.
You like that? Oh, fine. Well, you have some youngsters at home, don't you? Sort of your best critics, like I have?
Yes, two daughters.
Uh-huh.
They're very severe critics.
They give you some ideas, do they?
Yes.
Have they seen Song of the South?
No, I held it away from them. I tell you, they have a favorite expression they use. They say, "That's corny, Dad."
Well,
I can't take it.
Well, no, but it seems to me that your type of corn is doing all right.
Well, yes. Uh-huh. Corn goes.
Yeah. How much time now, Raj? Well, tonight's really the opening night, isn't it?
Yes. The opening night.
This is
all
it.
Over the world.
And this has never been seen, Song of the South, by a paid audience before?
No, sir, and it wasn't made for a 750 admission, either.
Well, of course, the Junior League could use that extra money for their
charity. For a very good purpose.
Sure.
I was out there today, and we have a wonderful thing out there.
Of course, at regular practice, it's worth every penny, isn't it?
Well.
are you nervous tonight?
Yes, sir.
You are?
Yes, sir. I'm starting on my leather hand.
Yeah. The picture's going to start in a minute. You better get going if you want to reach your seat. You're going out there and sit down, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? You think you'll live through it? What do you think of the Atlanta audience?
Well, it's a wonderful audience, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's going to be... It's going to be seen around the country, too, right away, isn't it?
As soon as possible.
Uh-huh.
All over the world.
Well, you people out there will see it soon, and tonight the Atlantans in the theater will be able to see it, too, and you people will be able to bring in your verdict.
Uh-oh.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. There goes the picture.
Thanks, Warren.
I know it's going to be great. We love it ourselves.
Why?
Yes.
Before Mr. Disney goes, and as he goes, let's tell the folks that we're going to see them next week in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Press Newsboys. And Mr. Disney, we wish you all the luck in the world. And as an old sentimental Adam, I'll tell you, you've got a wonderful picture you can't miss.
We love everybody.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Whiff. Testing.
Hey, mister, what's that for?
I'm testing this mic to be sure it's working okay, because I've got something to say about Lipton tea I want every listener to hear. Folks, Lipton tea is blended for briskness. Blended from as many as 18 choice teas, each one carefully selected for its own distinctive qualities. That's why Lipton's is always lively and spirited, always brisk. Try Lipton tea and you'll agree, brisk means richer flavor. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.